about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
So, you guys, what is the 411? What has everybody been up to? What is the hot gossip? Tell me everything. What are you guys listening to? What's the cool jams?
Mom?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You want to do something fun? You want to go to Taco Bell?
I can't go to Taco Bell. I'm on an all-carb diet. God, Karen, you are so stupid.
Ma'am, do you have this in the next size up?
Sorry. We only carry sizes 1, 3, and 5. You could try Sears.
What is that smell? Oh, Regina gave me some perfume.
You smell like a baby prostitute.
Thanks. That is so fetch. Gretchen, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
And now.
I had survived my first three-way calling attack. And with Regina's blessing, I started talking to Aaron more and more. On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was. It's October 3rd.
Our feature presentation.
Stop trying to make Mean Girls Day happen.
Mean Girls Day is a thing, you guys. I wanted to do that last year.
So they mentioned October 3rd.
I wanted to do that last year, but it fell on a weekend.
Oh,
so
I had must to wait have been until this difficult. Year.
It's just fun, you guys. Yeah. It's a good movie. It's fun.
It's just fun.
What's wrong with fun?
Nothing.
All right.
Nothing. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday. It's the 3rd of October.
In stereo.
How about that?
Oh, did you hit it too?
Same time.
It is Rocktober, man.
Rock and roll!
Kick off Rocktober right.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So we got Mean Girls Day. We got Rocktober.
I think just hit it, Bean.
We got...
Come on! Need it.
What?
Need it.
I'd rather he didn't...
What is it you're asking me to hit?
Well, it's the 1st of October that we've been in since October started.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's coming. Don't worry. We got that later. We got that later.
Yeah, now.
The listeners would burn this mother down if we didn't have that today. And it's also a Happy New Year to our Jewish listeners. It's Rosh Hashanah, which seems super early to me, but I know it's very flexible on the calendar, moves around a lot. So today that's a thing that's happening.
All right.
So there's a lot going on. Hey, can I get started with one of the most Florida stories ever?
Sure.
This one is too good to even save for the next What's Up with Florida. A 68-year-old man from Miami's Golden Beach neighborhood has reportedly had a terrible shock after discovering his new bride, a 24-year-old woman from Jacksonville, is actually... Anyone?
Is actually... A man?
His own biological granddaughter.
Wait a minute.
Wait, hold on.
She's 24. It turns out he married his own granddaughter. The couple have been married 3 months. They made the discovery while looking through a photo album belonging to the 68-year-old. By the way, no
she's
names.
She's our dad in the photo album.
I would have given anything to be in that room at that moment. Is that you? Are you? But then I'm what?
Wait, did you say yes to she saw her dad in a photo album?
Yes. In the album were photos of the 68-year-old's children from his first marriage, and one of them was the bride's own father.
No!
Wow.
Oh, no.
No names in the article. Both people have been have asked for their names to not be revealed. I don't know how it got to the press, but apparently, here's what happened: his grandpa became estranged from the children of that marriage after his wife left, taking the children away and moving to an undisclosed location. He was unable to find his family that left him through several years. He even claims he hired private investigators who failed to locate them. So then he remarried, had several more children with his second wife, and then that relationship ended with divorce in 2009. So, you're wondering, how did this 68-year-old marry a 24-year-old former stripper?
Oh, I think you answered it.
Yeah. In 2011, he received an abrupt change of fortune after a Powerball win. He won several $1 million.
Wow.
Was able to move from a small apartment into a waterfront property in Golden Beach. Life was good for a while, but he told reporters being single again made him lonely and yearned for companionship. He decided it was time to find a new wife, so he signed up with a local dating agency that specializes in matching older men with very young women.
Oh, jeez.
They had a website with profiles of many attractive younger girls. As he browsed the images, he came across the profile of the 24-year-old woman he would later marry without knowing, again, that she was his own granddaughter.
That's unbelievable. Now, what did they do next? They're in Florida.
Yeah, they're together.
Right?
For sure. For sure.
I mean, it was a bump in the road, but they're good.
They are staying together.
Oh! I knew it!
They are staying together.
That's unbelievable.
No!
They got married New Year's Eve of this year, by the way. I was thrilled when she accepted. The day we were married was the happiest of my life. However, the newlyweds' wedding bliss was short-lived after they discovered they were actually related. When I saw my father in that photo album, I just felt an overwhelming sense of despair. Despite the shocking discovery, the couple has vowed not to divorce and are committed to making their marriage a success. If we had never found out, we would have lived our lives happily together, and us being related shouldn't change that.
Mm.
You're boning your grandpa.
Grandpa says, I've already had two failed marriages, and I'm determined not to have a third. So what's the law on this, you guys? Is it against the law to be married to your
grandpa? I don't have any idea.
I feel like it
is. I don't know.
I feel like you can't be married to your siblings. You can't be married to your first cousins. I would assume.
Florida, though, I think.
It is Florida.
It's different.
Yeah, they have their own rules.
And let me ask you this also. They are virtual strangers to one another. Mm-hmm. As far as they know, they just met last year. They have no memory or history of any life together. If they're not going to have children, what's the downside? Besides us on the outside going icky.
Hmm.
Is there
children?
Any,
what's the downside?
If they don't have children,
other
and
than
he's
just
68, yeah. So it's unlikely they will.
Yeah, but, other than the social stigma, I guess.
Right.
They don't know each other at all.
They don't know each other at all. Is there any reason at all we should wish bad things for them, or should
absolutely
we hope,
not.
Hope they
but,
stay together and be happy?
We're thumbs up on this.
But here's the thing, though.
Is that what we're saying?
They now know,
right?
And it doesn't change for them. That makes it weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They're like, oh, nope, it's fine.
Well,
it's
I
cool.
Mean,
keep on boning Grampy.
So that goes.
We
in
would
the
have
category.
Rather not been in this position, but since we are, it's okay. Let's
right.
just go with it.
I wasn't lying.
That's
when
crazy.
I said it was one of the most Florida stories ever, right?
That's crazy.
Oh, it could not have happened anywhere but Florida.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Says the man.
Can't believe you had tape on him.
Yeah. Did.
How about
that?
Great. Married his granddaughter. That's what you're saying. That's how we're starting things off this week.
Yeah.
That's great.
Happy Monday.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Am I the only one excited about Rocktober?
On the program today, we're going to try and come up with a top five list of the greatest hip-hop songs of all time. And we are great at coming up with lists.
No.
Well, every single time we set our mind to something, boom, list.
The show is famous for our willingness to consensus.
Right. Well, I guess, that's probably one of our strengths.
Do you think we'll get one? Just one.
One on the top five list?
Top five, I would think so.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too.
Okay.
I would think so. But usually when we're doing a top five, we end up with a top four at best.
At best.
But we're going to try. We'll give it a shot. Jensen Karp will be here today. He's our hip-hop correspondent. Is your pet's Halloween costume sexist?
Your pets.
Your pet. Its Halloween costume is that sexist. We're going to try and answer that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin like we do on Monday mornings and Andrew Siciliano to recap the weekend in the NFL. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Lots going on this morning in the world of showbiz and celebrities. Ralph Garman is here with our first look for a new week. Good morning, Ralph.
It is a Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to kick things off. Mrs. Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children debuted at number one over the weekend, $28.5 million for the new Tim Burton film. And then Deepwater Horizon. Oh, get those guys off that rig. $20.6 million in its debut. Magnificent Seven continued to do pretty well for itself with $15.7 million. Storks was fourth. Sully was fifth. Masterminds, the bank heist caper film, debuted with just $6.6 million at number six. Queen of Katwe, for you big chess fans out there. We were in the theaters this weekend watching that. $2.6 million. Don't Breathe at number eight. Bridget Jones's Baby and Snowden were your top 10 films. Saturday Night Live's ratings for the season opener were its best in 8 years this weekend.
Wow.
Wow.
probably due to the much ballyhooed debut of Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump in the opening gambit of Saturday Night Live with him and Kate McKinnon doing Trump versus Hillary, recreating the debate together. And I got to tell you something. It was freaking brilliant. I don't know if you
it was
saw
great.
It.
I didn't know.
Very saw it. It was brilliantly written, brilliantly performed. Really is everything I could have expected. And then the show dropped right off the cliff. I said, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the show. I haven't watched the whole show in a while.
They've got me so far.
This was brilliant. This is the dawning of a new age.
Uh-huh.
Can't wait for the rest of the show.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
And then it went all SNL on you?
There were some
very good sketches.
Nah.
Very good. Did you see Family Feud?
The sinkhole sketch was pretty good, but I don't know where that was.
Very
funny.
Did you get the premise of the sinkhole sketch?
Are you saying they did it over and over?
No, I was wondering, did you get the point of that sketch at all in the first, 20 seconds?
Yeah.
And then
so you're saying they repeated it?
How often did they go back to that well?
28
To that sinkhole.
28 times.
And it's brutal because the cast is brilliant. It may be the most talented cast they've had in years.
In a long time, I agree.
And the writing... You watch the Weekend Update and you're like, this looks like kids in college doing their take on Weekend Update and they're trying to do like an impression of it.
Ooh. If what I hear you saying is that you thought it was a terrific show, I agree.
Who does Weekend Update now?
Michael Che and Colin Jost.
And Colin Jost, who act as if they've never been in front of a camera before in their lives. They both look scared to death out there.
They need Cecily Strong back.
Well, they brought her on as a character, and she was hysterical.
Oh.
And then they went back to them again.
Mwah, mwah.
So, you can take the good with the bad, but very impressive. Margot Robbie was terrific. I mean, the performances were all great. When bad things happen to bad people is the next segment. Kim Kardashian was reportedly held up at gunpoint in her Paris hotel room. Spokesperson for Kim told the BBC that two armed masked men dressed as police officers were the crooks, and that she is badly shaken but physically unharmed. Her husband, Kanye West, was performing a set at the Meadows Festival in New York City last night, but abruptly left early after learning of the news. Kim was in Paris attending Paris Fashion Week with her mother, Kris Jenner, and sister Kendall. What are the odds those guys were strippers gone wrong, right? Guys in masks dressed as police officers. What the hell? Did they have a boombox with them? Are there singles sticking out of their G-strings? What's happening?
Ralph, Allie, and I were discussing this first thing. When you heard the news, did it cross your mind that the whole thing is a fake? Or did you take it at face value?
No, I didn't think it was a fake.
Didn't even cross your mind? I don't think it is a fake.
Didn't cross my mind either.
It did occur to me that this is the type of thing that Kim Kardashian and or Kanye West would be involved in. It's such a hey, look at me.
It could be. It could also be she was held up at gunpoint.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened. I think that's what happened. But because they are who they are, it did cross my mind that maybe they were faking it.
Well, they generate stuff for their own publicity. I've never known them to fake anything.
Their security has been really lax lately in Paris.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw
Russian comedian
tried that prankster, all of that. Like, what, you need new security.
Yeah,
if this
no
is
kidding.
Happening on your watch twice.
Yeah, they never struck me as the kind of people to manufacture events. They would just blow their personal lives out of proportion.
Yeah.
But Lindsay Lohan, also in the news. More bad things happening to bad people. She apparently was trying to help operate a yacht over the weekend. You know how it is when you're in Turkey.
Sure.
And you're trying to pull up the yacht's anchor.
All the time.
Well,
why is she doing that?
She's much better partying on yachts than she is operating them, Kevin, apparently. Because it did slice off half her finger. And luckily for her, friends found the finger on the deck. And they were able to get to the doctors. And they reattached it in a local emergency room. So... yeah, be careful for sliced turkey.
What?
That's all I gotta say. And speaking of meat,
file.
Have a moment today. Take a moment, bow your head, and then eat a hot dog in memory of Richard Trentledge. Good old Dick Trentledge. Dick Trentledge for Dick's you, I used to say, but now I feel bad because he was a good man. He passed away at the age of 87. Dick Trentledge was the man from McCann Erickson. If you're a Madman fan, you know that name stirs up feelings of anger and fury in you. Always trying to steal our accounts, right? And he came up with a little jingle back in 1963 that you may know. And if you will do me the honor, I'd like to do a dramatic reading now of that jingle.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I'd truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
Yay! When you hear it that way, that's stupid beyond words.
What?
Seriously.
It's the Oscar Mayer wiener song.
Right. Wow.
However, you may not know the second verse. The less
There's
popular
a second verse.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad I'm not an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I'd never want to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, there would soon be nothing left of me.
Of her eating you.
What happened?
She's explaining. She's explaining what happened there.
Somebody put her helmet on.
She said because they're eating you.
Because it's a hot dog. It's a food item.
Get her back on the bus. Because
they're eating you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Al Sharpton, good friend of the show, Al Sharpton. We have Al on all the time. He is 62 years old today. Comedian Greg Proops, he's 57. Tommy Lee, drummer Tommy Lee, is 54. Clive Owen is 52 years old. Singer Gwen Stefani celebrates her 47th birthday.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female.
She's not.
You got a $1 million contract.
She doesn't have the...
And you're still waiting for your hot track.
She has lost a step in her performance skills.
That's good.
Backstreet Boy, Kevin Richardson is 45 years old today. Lena Headey celebrates her 43rd birthday. Nev Campbell's also 43. Sean William Scott turns 40. And Alicia Vikander turns 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of The Offspring, here's a pretty cool K-Rock double bill for you. How about a pair of tickets right now to see Sublime with Rome and The Offspring at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater on October the 15th, plus access to the TCL VIP Club. We'll give them away right now to caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. The Offspring, by the way, a super fun live band. You are going to have a great, great time. So call now, caller 20. Well, let's find out what's going on with the latest on the Kim Kardashian story, broken once again by TMZ.com. Our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom. Hey, Harvey, you must have had a very sleepless night as a result of all this going on.
It was difficult. It was difficult and incredible. I got to tell you, how could this happen?
It's
terrifying. But you think about this. How do five guys get into a very exclusive high-end apartment complex with Kim Kardashian, who is always, you know, with bodyguards, and somehow they get the concierge at gunpoint to open the door. They walk inside. They bound her. They gagged her. They put her in handcuffs, put tape over her mouth, threw her in the bathtub, put a gun to her head. And she was begging for her life, saying, "I have babies, please don't hurt me." And then they take a box of jewelry, they take her $4.5 million engagement ring, and get away. I mean, when you think about it, in the middle of Fashion Week, with all the interest in Kim, where people usually hang around hotels just to see her,
it's unbelievable. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy heist. Now, who else is in the hotel with her when these guys knock on the door? Does she have private security that's in there with her, or are they in adjoining rooms just in case she needs them she goes out?
And is it a hotel, or is this an actual apartment that she owns?
It's called a hotel, but she doesn't own it. It's an apartment. Well, actually, I take it back. I don't know if she owns it or not.
Okay.
But it's called a hotel, but it's really a high-end apartment.
Okay.
And you know, the spacious, beautiful rooms, but somehow, I don't know where the bodyguards were. Now, there are some stories, and we're chasing them down, that the bodyguard may have been with Courtney, because she was out and Kim wasn't. And I don't know if that's the case, but boy, if it was,
that would make sense.
That's going to change in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's just, it's so terrifying to imagine what that would have been like for her. Can you imagine these five guys just barge into your room, and the next thing you know, like you said, you're in a bathtub with tape over your mouth.
Posing as cops, by the way.
Yeah, posing as cops, right. So do we think that's why she opened the door? She thought it was legitimate police?
I don't think she did open the door. I think what happened was the concierge let these guys in because the concierge was held at gunpoint. That's the way it looks to me.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now,
it's just the whole thing is unbelievable.
Why do you say, why were you asking how it could happen? I mean, the gun to the head sort of makes
that
sense.
Opens a lot of doors.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is, how on earth did these people get in, get the jewelry, tie her up, bind her, put her in the tub? How did they do all of that and get away with it?
And get away with it. That's the thing, yeah. Where'd you get this $4.5 million figure for the jewelry that was stolen?
That's what we had reported that before. This engagement ring is super expensive. I mean, well, think about it. Kanye, I mean, look, they are about image at this point.
Right.
And that's why Kanye gave her that, and he gave her a matching one recently as well, so...
Speaking of Kanye, he's on stage in New York at the time. How did he get word during the concert what happened to his wife?
You know, I don't know whether somebody got in his ear, and I think that's possible, but somebody let him know, and he was clearly upset and just bolted in the middle of a song.
Understandably.
And totally understandably, but it sounds to me like somebody might have been able to get in his ear with his eye with the earpiece because he knew something bad had happened and he knew it was a family emergency and it was very abrupt in the middle of a song, so it's not like anybody walked up to him. It just happened very quickly.
I got to tell you, the video you put up that the guy was at the show and was, you know, caught Kanye saying that, he's like, "Oh, come on." I think he had no idea.
A lot
of
people were like, "Oh, this is so Kanye."
Right. Yeah, no, it's one of those cry wolf moments.
Yeah,
yeah, no kidding.
All right, let me ask you one more thing on this, then we're going to move on real quick and talk Lindsay for a second. And that is, do you know, Harvey, if these guys posing as police officers showed their faces? Because it seems like they'd be on camera somewhere.
You would think. I don't. I mean, but, you know, here's what I'm thinking. They had to. I mean, if they walk in with masks on and say they're police officers, nobody's going to believe
them. Nobody buys
right?
it. Yeah, exactly. So,
it seems to me they had to show their faces. I don't know what the security cameras are like, but I know in Paris there are lots of cameras everywhere. So you would think maybe they have some video of these guys.
Hey, look, ever since I saw the night of, Harvey, I'm convinced you can't leave your house without appearing on camera somewhere.
You probably only know the tenth of it. I mean, even in L.A., there are all sorts of weird things in the city.
Yeah.
You know, with cars that have cameras that go to the police. It's it is crazy.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, the Lindsay story. We were just talking about it with Ralph a few minutes ago. This is this is not crying wolf. This is an actual serious medical emergency that she was in the middle of on that boat, right?
Yeah. She was. Off the coast of Turkey in a boat, and she was just with some friends, and they decided to pull the anchor up, and she's boated before a lot, so she said, "I can do this," and she got tangled up in it, and the anchor pulled her down, and she tried to pull back up, and she literally lost a portion of her finger, of her ring finger. And the people in the boat scrambled and actually found the portion. They got her to a plastic surgeon, and they reattached it. But wow.
Wow, indeed.
Nice.
Now
brutal weekend.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Harvey. Can you tell, do you have a way on your site to tell how many people click through to see the uncensored photo on TMZ.com of Lindsay's finger?
Yes, a lot.
would you say most people go past the warning gnarly images and look at it?
I would say that's a fair guess.
Okay. Kevin, you're not in, right?
No.
You said, nope, I don't want to see it.
You know what?
Kevin's going to do it within the next hour.
I know what it looks like.
Kevin's going to do it.
How dare you, Harvey?
Go to him one more time.
How dare you, Harvey?
All right. Well, we'll be following both of these stories throughout the day. That terrifying Kim Kardashian news. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, you'll have it all over the TV show today as well on TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4, TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, get your tickets for the TMZ tour at TMZ.com. Harvey, thank you for jumping on. Have a great week, sir.
Okay, guys, you too.
Here's my question for you.
Right.
Next season,
yeah,
when baseball begins,
right,
mm-hmm, will we see Vin Scully in the crowd at Dodger Stadium, or Does he never want to even hear the word baseball again as long as he lives after 9,000 broadcasts?
That's a great question.
Huh.
Is he over baseball, do you think? Or now is he going to really embrace just being a working stiff and enjoy it as a fan?
I don't think he'll ever be over baseball, but I don't expect to see him in, you know, 98-degree heat just sitting there with Sandra sweating.
Then I'm again, sure they'd be in a suite
someplace.
Yeah, probably so.
He's in the outfield.
I don't know. I mean, it's impossible to tell no matter how much you love something. I mean, he called so many games for so many years.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to keep seeing it.
Hey, baseball's awesome, first of all. 67 years broadcasting for the team since 1950, and I know that a lot of people were bummed the way it worked out that his final game was going to be in San Francisco. But it did work. I thought it was so cool that it was in San Francisco because of how they put the rivalry aside, and they were just as crazy for Vin up there as they were at Dodger Stadium last weekend down here. You know what I mean? It was really classy to see the way they handled that whole thing. And Willie Mays visiting Vin in the booth was amazing, and it was just, I don't know. I don't think it could have ended more beautifully than it did yesterday.
Here are some highlights from yesterday.
It was awfully nice. The umpire just stood up and said goodbye, as I am saying goodbye. 7 runs, 16 hits for the winning Giants, 1-4-1 for the Dodgers. The winner, Matt Moore. The loser, Kenta Maeda. I have said enough for a lifetime. And for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
And then they tossed it to a pre-recorded video of Vin saying goodbye to all his fans.
Many years ago, a little red-headed boy was walking home from school, passing a Chinese laundry, and stopped to see the score of a World Series game posted in the window. The Yankees beat the Giants 18-4 on October the 2nd, 1936. Well, the boy's reaction was pity for the Giants, and he became a rabid Giants fan from that day forward.
See, he's a Giants fan. He just said it.
He grew was up a little Giants boy. Fan.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
6 years old.
He
by
didn't
the way,
know.
So to the
he
day,
didn't know.
To the day that he saw that sign in the window, 80 years to his last broadcast yesterday, that's pretty incredible symmetry.
Until the joyous moment when he was hired to broadcast Brooklyn Dodger games in 1950. Ironically, October the 2nd, 2016, will mark my final broadcast of a Giants-Dodger game. And it will be exactly 80 years to the day since that little boy fell in love with baseball. God has been very generous to that little boy, allowing him to fulfill a dream of becoming a broadcaster and to live it for 67 years. Since 1958, you and I have really grown up together through the good times and the bad.
Since 1958. That's
insane.
Which is when the Dodgers moved
That's
to L.A., right?
Crazy.
The transistor radio is what bound us together. By the way, were you at the Coliseum when we sang Happy Birthday to an umpire? Were you among the crowd that groaned at one of my puns? Or did you kindly laugh at one of my little jokes? Did I put you to sleep with a transistor radio tucked under your pillow?
It wasn't you, Vin. It was baseball that put me to sleep.
Come on.
You know, you
day.
Were simply always there for me. I've always felt that I needed you more than you needed me, and that holds true to this very day. I've been privileged to share in your passion and love for this great game. My family means everything to me, and I'll now be able to share life's experiences with them. My wife Sandy, our children Kevin, Todd, Aaron, Kelly, and Catherine, along with our entire family, will join me in sharing God's blessings of that precious gift of time. You folks have truly been the wind beneath my wings, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart joining me on this incredible journey of 67 years of broadcasting Dodger baseball.
All right, stop right there. So, Kevin, as you're listening to this, are you already in wrap-it-up old man mode, or are you still cool because it's Vin?
It's Vin.
Okay.
Vin could talk forever.
Yeah.
I feel like. You don't cut Vin off.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, friends, so many people have wished me congratulations on a 67-year career in baseball, and they've wished me a wonderful retirement with my family. And now, all I can do is tell you what I wish for you. May God give you for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, and a blessing in each trial.
I feel like I don't. I wouldn't listen to this for most people. You know what I mean? It's sort of cheesy and, mm-hmm. and corny, but mm-hmm. but beautiful. But oh. because it's coming from Vin?
Yeah, it's an old exception. Irish blessing.
Yeah,
it's
I feel like it's really nice.
For every problem life seems, a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song and an answer for each prayer. You and I have been friends for a long time, but I know in my heart that I've always needed you more than you've ever needed me. And I'll miss our time together more than I can say. But you know what? There will be a new day and eventually a new year.
What?
And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Ben Scully wishing you a...
What's happening? Be quiet.
Stop.
I'm trying to play his sign off.
He's enjoying it a
lot. That's not okay.
I'm trying to play his sign off. Why would you interrupt?
You are from hell.
It will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Ben Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon.
Yeah.
Wherever you may be.
Smell it.
I thought that was weird, but if he
you are awful.
If he makes that choice, who am I to argue?
You are a rotten human.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour from the NFL Network with a recap of weekend number four. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
It is Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one film of the weekend was Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Its debut, $28.5 million. Let's see the new Tim Burton film, Deepwater Horizon. Debuted with $20.6 million. Then Magnificent Seven came in at number three. Storks and Sully were your top five films. Masterminds, also a new film this weekend, debuted with $6.6 million. Followed by Queen of Katwe, Don't Breathe, Bridget Jones's Baby, and Snowden rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. Michael Jackson no longer owns the Beatles song catalog. Wall Street Journal has a story today saying that Sony ATV Publishing just paid the Jackson estate $750 million for his 50% share of the company, which is worth between $2.2 and $2.4 billion, they estimate the Beatles catalog is worth. And this all went down back in 1995 when Michael initially had the purchase rights. And here's the thing I thought it was fascinating, was that because of the Copyright Act of 1976, which gives songwriters back their songs after 56 years,
right,
Paul McCartney and Yoko Ono will start to get the rights to the Lennon-McCartney songbook back in 2018.
Wow.
And by 2026, all of the rights to all of those songs will revert back to the songwriters. So Sony only has like 10 more years to make money on this catalog. But they still think
it's
worthwhile.
What'd they pay?
They just paid Jackson's estate $750 million for his 50% share, meaning now I think they own
all of it.
Yeah. This was a scary story. Universal Orlando. They've got the Harry Potter world there. And there was a guy on the Hogwarts Express. And he had an e-cigarette in his pocket, and they're not quite sure what happened, but during the ride, it blew up and shot a fireball at a girl who's 14 years old. The man and the girl were both slightly injured with burns, but they're expected to fully recover, but they're not quite sure how it happened.
Yikes.
But magic, right? That's how it happened. Flamicus opicus or something.
It was the dark arts.
And they were on to the house of Gligenstan, and probably one of the Chuggles came in and then flew in on the Glaffin snake. Right? Because that's what happens.
Pretty much.
And they all drank slubber.
Slubber?
Slubber wine.
And you saw all the movies or you missed some?
Of course. No, I've read every book.
Because it just didn't sound like you had a complete grasp on the universe of Harry Potter.
Harry Potter and the chafing Smokestack. My favorite book of all of them was that one.
Assistant producer Christine just sent me a message that she is wearing her Hogwarts necklace today as we speak.
Good.
Ralph. Like so you guys can talk all Harry Potter when you go back in the office.
I'd like to give her a Hogwarts necklace.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
This is actual jewelry we're talking about.
Yeah. You got warts on your hog, by the way. You got to get to a doctor and get
that. That's another different thing.
You can spread that. Right? Hey, remember that Charlie Manson series, Aquarius, with Dave Duchovny?
Yeah.
I hope you weren't too attached to it.
I was very attached to it. I enjoyed it so much.
Well, then I'm glad to report it's been canceled by NBC. After two seasons, you apparently and your friends weren't tuning in enough.
This is a shock to me because usually when a show is moved to Saturday night, two episodes at a time, it means they have a lot of confidence in it. Yeah.
This is an amazing story. Over the weekend, there was a fundraising event for the Motion Picture and Television Fund, which is a great organization. Helps industry professionals from movie and TV shows that are in need, whether it be medical or financial. They do a lot of great work for the movie and TV industry, and they did a fundraising event while honoring Kirk Douglas. The organization has been around for 95 years. They were celebrating that. Of course, Kirk himself has been around 5 years longer than that and will be 100 years old this winter.
Oh, my.
Now, while talking about the fund and Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas, his son, said that his dad and wife, Anne, of 62 years, have donated over the length of his career more than $40 million to that fund.
Wow.
Don't you wish they had that money back? Don't you think right now they say, oh, we helped some people, but oh, we just had known we were going to live this long, we could have had 40 more million dollars. No, they probably don't think
probably
that
not.
Way. Yeah. It was a pretty cool event. Hugh Jackman was there, Bryan Cranston, Chris Pine, Kevin Spacey, Jeremy Renner, and of course, Helen Reddy all turned
I'm
out.
I'm sorry. Obviously.
All turned out to pay tribute to Kirk Douglas, so it was a very nice event. Warwick Davis from Star Wars. You remember him? He was Wicket.
Sure.
He was Wicket the Ewok. And he is going to be in Episode 8. He has announced. He was on Australian television. They were interviewing him, and they said, do you have a role in the upcoming Episode 8? And he said, I do, yes, but that's all he can say. So we won't know anything more until we see the film, but I'm guessing he'll be the little one.
It's probably a good...
He's not playing Darth Vader this
time. Probably a good
around.
Guess.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Ali, how will they... you're the Star Wars expert. How are they going to work Endor into the new movie, do you think?
Oh, he's not going to be an Ewok.
Oh, he's playing a different role.
Yes, he's played several roles in the in the Star Wars films to date. He was in the pod racing scene in Phantom Menace. He's been in a couple of the incarnations.
BB-8?
He was not BB-8. No, that was just that was a motion control.
Oh. I hope he's Leia's love slave.
Yeah. You should whisper that more. Someone almost heard you. Today's celebrity birthdays... Al Sharpton, right? Al Sharpton. We love Al.
Al Sharpton.
Oh, the Rev. The Rev!
The Rev.
Oh, he's so funny. He's hilarious. 62 years old today. Greg Proops is 57. Tommy Lee turns 54. Clive Owen, 52 years old today. Singer Gwen Stefani celebrates her 47th birthday. Kevin Richardson of Backstreet Boys, 45 years old. Lena Headey celebrates her 43rd birthday. Nev Campbell also is 43 today. Sean William Scott turns 40. And Alicia Vikander celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Take her off. Your calls are next. 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Beans. What's good?
I'm sorry, who?
Kevin and Beans. What's good?
What Kevin's. Kevin's.
Kevin's and Beans, and Beans. Apparently. What's good? Any topic? What you thought of Vin Scully's sign-off? Anything that you have? Questions, comments about the show? Whatever you want to talk about, new TV shows, movies that you saw and you loved, movies you saw you hated. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls next.
Now's your chance to join the show at 1-800-520-1067. We have time for a few of your phone calls. It's called Kevin Beans. What's good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good?
What's good indeed? Why don't we start with our man Rich, please, on line two. He's in Montebello. Raiders fans have not had a lot to be excited about in recent years until now.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Here we are, 3-1. Who would have thought this far into the season? Raiders are 3-1, baby.
The season.
Because usually you've given up by now.
Usually everyone has, but you know what? There's a lot. I know there's a lot of people out there wearing Raider Nation shirts all of a sudden.
Now, what does that mean? Do you think people are jumping on the bandwagon of the Raiders?
Oh, you know there's going to be people jumping on the bandwagon.
Well, I don't think yet, though. I'm not sure 3-1 deserves bandwagon fans.
Why? If you're going to be a bandwagon fan, why not jump on the Rams bandwagon, who are also 3-1 and are a lot closer?
I got to give credit to the Rams. They are 3-1. They did beat Kevin's Arizona Cardinals last night.
We're the other. We're the other way. We're 1-3. Right where we want to be.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Hey, Rich. It's a perfect plan.
Let me run this by and see what you think. You're a lifelong hardcore Raiders fan.
Lifelong, ever since I was about 11 years old.
Right. Sorry about that Tuck rule thing.
A Jessup, Maryland man was taken to University of Maryland Shock Trauma Center with a serious head injury Sunday night after an altercation at M&T Bank Stadium with two Oakland Raiders fans who were arrested, according to Baltimore police. What?
You know they were starting it. Come on. You know it was the Baltimore fans egging us on.
Right?
You know what? I'm going to support Rich in this because Ravens fans are awful.
Are they as bad as Raiders fans, though?
Hey, let's not talk about Raiders fans being bad when it's happening every weekend with the Rams.
Every weekend. It's just a bunch. I think it's alcohol. We need to stop serving alcohol.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, congratulations. I'm glad you're enjoying the first month of the season. Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it. Why don't we go to, speaking of sports, let's go to Matthew in Riverside, line five. Let's find out what the hell this is about. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's good?
Hey, I just want to talk about the League of Legends esports tournament going on for the next few months. It just dropped off at San Francisco. It's going to hit New York. It's going to hit Chicago in the grand finals of this video game tournament. It's going to be at Staples Center this year.
Staples Center, October 29th. What kinds of video games will people be playing there in competition?
It is one game. It's a computer game, a 5-on-5 combat sport that you play virtually, and it's teams from all over the world. The dominant team from Korea taking on the homeboy from L.A., Cloud9. It's going to be amazing. Now, Cloud9 actually makes it.
Now, because they're so good at it, I assume, you like just watching them play?
It is a weird trance state you can get into watching these guys click their mouses, hit their keyboards a million times a minute, and just dominating each other on the field without punching each other in the face in real life.
It's so weird. And look, you're not an oddball anymore. I mean, this is big business all around the world. There are people filling arenas.
Sell out in minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge, but it's just so weird. Like, would you have believed it if somebody would have told you 10 years ago that you could sell out Staples Center watching other people play a video game? Probably not, right?
Not even close.
All right. Well, have fun. It's League of Legends World Championship. Again, it's October 29th for the finals. Appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Let's try Robert. Line three, please. Huntington Beach on Kevin Beans. What's good? Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. I was in Chicago last week and just walking around looking at Dark Knight filming locations and ran into the film production of Death Wish.
Oh, no kidding. We were just talking about that with Ralph on Friday. Who stars in Death Wish?
Bruce Willis.
That's right.
And he was there, but I didn't see him. They were filming a car chase scene on Upper Wacker Drive, and I ran into around 11 o'clock at night, and they were breaking for lunch.
Can you see any of it going on, any of the filming going on, or you just see a big, a bunch of trailers and stuff?
Oh yeah, they were filming a car chase scene, and it was a scene where someone was driving and police cars were chasing them.
Okay, so, yeah. All right, sounds like fun. Thanks for the call, appreciate that. Let's try Aaron Downey, line one, please. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, hi. You know how you guys did that pearl story a couple of weeks back?
The what story?
The pearl that turned out to be worth like $78 million.
Oh, yes. He kept it under his bed. Yes.
Yeah, I have a blue screen monitor that I bought for $100, and it was a female that was full of eggs, and when they hatched, I've already sold all of them, and I've made over $35,000.
Selling eggs?
From hatchlings of a blue tree monitor.
What's a blue tree monitor?
Is that a type of reptile?
Oh.
Is that one of those those real big ones, those real big lizards, like the one that bit Sharon Stone's husband a few years ago? Monitor lizard?
Yeah, it's they're small. They're about like the size of a forearm. That's pretty much it.
You made $35,000.
Wow. Each hatchling is worth like three or more grand.
Why are they so costly? Why are they so expensive? Are they hard to find?
Yeah, they're super rare. I'm one of like three breeders in the United States.
That's so. Is this your business now? This is what you're doing for a living, or something?
I just do it on the side. I go to school and stuff, but like they hatch. I'm already having a third batch of hatchlings, so I'm gonna make another one.
Wow. I got to get me in the monitor lizard business.
That's what I'm saying.
Not a sentence I thought I'd be saying today.
He's
a business mogul.
I tried to sell my eggs.
Yeah?
Nothing. Yeah. No takers.
Not $3,000 a baby.
Nope.
That's amazing. Wow, great call, Aaron. Thank you so much. I hope a bunch of other people don't hear this and go out and get in the monitor business too and then drive your prices down. Right. Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to... to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:20.
What's the date? We're into October now, aren't we, Kevin?
It's October 3rd, yeah.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
Come on!
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Yeah.
Ooh-ah.
Sing it if you know it.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
Right?
Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see. But I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
My fear is that people are going to think we think this is good.
Or because it's awesome.
Because we're doing it ironically.
It's so good.
Well, I don't think they're going to get that part. I think they're going to go, those guys like that song.
The listeners have been heard
right.
from in great numbers.
Sure.
Now, once the calendar page turns to October, Kevin,
right.
they expect, no, they demand.
Yeah,
right,
rightfully
sure.
so.
Halloween spooks. Speaking of Halloween, this is a fascinating story. You know, there's been a lot of talk lately, and you see this a lot with commercials involving little kids, is that there has been far too much over the decades. There has been far too much media impressions of little kids, and boys are firefighters and girls are nurses or princesses or something like that. And people are like, hey, anyone can be anything they want to be. And we've kind of got to the point where I think we're a lot more aware of that now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next frontier is your dog's pet sexist? That's now a thing that you have to be concerned about.
Is your dog's costume?
Yes, that's right. Is your dog's costume sexist? Right, exactly. So if I dress my girl bulldog up for Halloween, and I never would because you should never dress up any pet for any reason ever, but if I dress her up as a nurse, is that
sexist?
Sexist. Is that sexist? She should be a firefighter if she wants to be a firefighter,
right? If she wants
to
be, she should tell you what she wants
to
be.
Yeah, you should ask her.
Scott Laurie says, talking about his dog, she will not be ignored. The career options for women and dogs need to go beyond pink loofahs and pink cowgirls. Because you can go into any like PetSmart or Petco or anything like that, and you can see all sorts of puppy costumes. And a lot of times they are very, very sexist. And we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, who could we talk to? And we have Marcel Leclerc from Canine Couture joining us on the phone as our expert on this topic. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
You're very good, thank you.
I'm so glad you're good. I am also well being also good.
Good. Well, what can
good,
you
good.
Add?
Good for your good.
And good for your good
and
as well,
back
sir.
Back again for you to be also
and to you
good.
As well, my friend.
And happiness for unto you, sir.
And I extend the same to you and yours.
And I appreciate, I accept your blessing, and I give it back to you tenfold.
All right. This hot potato game will never end if we don't move on. What do you have to add to the description that we gave as we brought you on the phone? Is this a problem that people's pet costumes are sometimes sexist?
Well, first of all, as Ken and Kitty, we are the number one.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you're what?
We are the number one.
Number one.
Designer of the Halloween costumes.
Halloween costumes for pets, okay?
That's what I just said.
Yeah. Yes, I'm
we
just
are
clarifying.
Number one.
Right, right.
And so we have this problem many times with people who are buying costumes. That they are right. You should not have sexual identity first on your dog.
Okay.
The dog should not be told and limited in what he can be. You can't say to a dog girl, oh, you must be Princess or Secretary.
Or what?
Secretary.
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 Or nurse.
Right.
You can't limit her like that, make her feel just like a bitch.
Because maybe she wants to be a firefighter?
Yes, maybe she wants to be a superhero. And you're just saying, oh no, boys, dogs be superheroes.
Uh-huh.
She can be, we have a Superman costume for dogs, we call him Slobberman.
Slobberman,
and
right.
His secret identity is Bark Kent.
Right, all right.
I can.
And a girl can also be that as well for also, too.
Right, but do pets really care about that?
Oh, yes. You don't want to have dog have sex issues.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You don't want to make forcing to have pick choice.
Right.
Because
so,
some dog like other dog. Some dog like cat, the pussy cat.
Right.
Some dog like have just by self, just lick. You don't know how to make them feel good.
But okay. I think what we're saying...
Some dog like a rubber tongue that you take and you lick them with a tongue made of rubber in your own mouth.
Oh, like a licky brush.
Like
yeah, we have seen the licky brush.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So you want to give them freedom to be who they are. Don't force them into little doggy cubicles.
Okay, so anyone can be the president, anyone can be an astronaut, can be a scientist.
Yes, you want to be president, we have a new costume, Donald Hump.
Okay. Okay.
Where we put wig on your dog and he hump your leg.
Right.
Okay,
all right.
Oh, it's so much fun, not only for the dog, but for your leg.
Is it?
Questionable.
It is for me.
Okay. All right.
Now I have the two dogs on each leg.
Oh, all right.
And one on my neck.
What?
Took a turn.
Why do you
I have a dog
neck?
Humping my neck.
Oh, yeah, well, do you need to go? Doesn't seem ideal.
You never tried, I guess. I put a dog on your neck and you'll be so happy.
What are you talking? No.
Oh, yeah.
What happened? This is just, we thought we were doing an interview here.
What happened?
Kevin, I feel like you're not enjoying this NFL season as much as you have in years past.
I'm not, Bean.
Really?
It's not quite as much fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Ralph is having a great time this year. I'm enjoying
right.
it. Allie's real happy.
Sure.
It seems like you're down there where the Dolphins live. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm in the 1-3 club.
Welcome, Kev.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Let's find out how the weekend went for our good friend, Mr. Andrew Siciliano, as once again he hosted DirecTV's Red Zone channel. He's also the host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network today at 1 o'clock. Hey, Andrew, how was your weekend, my friend?
Good morning, guys. It was just utterly fantastic. How are you?
We're doing great. We always appreciate your time. We know how busy you are. And I want to start with, is it time for us to forget everything we heard leading into the start of the season and admit that maybe the Rams are good?
See, listen, you're going to call me a sycophant and just a fanboy and all this. I thought they were good before the season. I didn't know that they'd be 3-1 first place good. Mm-hmm. And obviously they had questions at quarterback. But I guess what I don't understand is the doom and gloom that everyone forecast. They finished last season well. The preseason was mediocre, but you can't judge anything.
Right.
Week one was an unmitigated disaster.
It was still, well, they played terrible that first
right. Week right. one is that sitcom in its premiere that gets canceled 12 minutes in before you even get to the end of the show.
Right.
That's what that was. But it's only 1 week.
Right, and then turned it around.
Turned it around. I mean, look, I'm sorry. If you beat the Seahawks and you beat the Cardinals, you're not a bad team.
Right, but the crazy thing is they did that last year and still didn't.
Still people said they were a bad team. Wow.
Right. So look, I guess it's not surprising when they beat the division opponents that they have beaten in the past, regardless of how good those division opponents are.
Mm-hmm.
And so beating the Seahawks and Cardinals isn't that shocking to me. The test comes next week, and then the week after that. They get Buffalo at the Coliseum next week. Then they have to go to Detroit. And then from Detroit, they will leave directly to go to London to play the Giants. That's a difficult three-game stretch, and those are opponents that are not familiar, unlike
okay.
the other two teams. And then that's when we find out if they're any good.
Okay. And the flip side of that coin is, are we willing to admit that the Raiders are pretty good?
I think so. Their defense is still Circus Ugly, to quote Peter Griffin, I think. I mean, their defense is atrocious. It was better last week. But, the first two, three games, they gave up. I think the first two games, they gave up the most yardage any defense has allowed in two games since the 30s.
Wow. That's a stat.
Or the first, let me rephrase, the most yardage ever allowed by a team in its first two games.
Okay.
Which is almost as bad. Since the 30s.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but here's the other thing we learned about that game. The Ravens aren't any good. So, I mean, they're not bad. Okay, they're 3-1. But they were 3-0 against teams that were collectively 1-8. The Ravens are not scaring anybody. But for the Raiders to go there and beat them, and that was their third time on the East Coast already this year, which is absurd.
That's impressive. That is impressive.
Have we gotten to a point in time where we have to say that the Bills are good?
Stop, man. That was tough. Did you see Rex afterwards, Rex Ryan, who has never lost a press conference? He is undefeated.
Yes, he's pretty mouthy. He's a championship troll, isn't he?
Yeah, they asked him, well, did you know which quarterback was going to play? Because, they wouldn't announce, was it Garoppolo or Brissett until right before the game. He said, no, I knew it was going to be Brissett because I have a source inside the Patriots building. And then he looked at the media and said, go ahead, have fun with that.
Come on, Allie.
He stood up there and trolled. Allie, are you okay? He's not suspended anymore. You know that, right? It's 7:37 or 38. He is officially no longer suspended.
Andrew, and your team is 3-1.
At 9:01 my time.
Yes.
I knew he was no longer suspended, and a weight was lifted.
Yes,
everything's fine.
Better.
But I asked Allie on the way in, you'd be happy before the season if you knew that the team would be 3-1
out
of those four games.
You would have taken it.
Of course.
Sure. Absolutely.
Sure. But not the Bills.
Is it the Bills that makes you angry?
Yeah, a little bit. I would have been fine with Texas. Would have been fine with
that. That's the one you expected to maybe lose.
That's one I expected to lose and lose handily. But
I was surprised 0 points. That surprised me in that
game. They looked the worst I've ever seen them in the history of, well, not the history of the Patriots, history of Belichick's Patriots.
They got punched in the mouth,
which
I've never seen. They've lost before. I mean, they are humans, but they got punched in the mouth, which is shocking.
When was the last time they were shut out at home, Andrew?
The last time they were shut out at home was 1993.
That's going back to you.
Belichick. It was Bill Parcells coaching the team,
and
it wasn't even in that building. It was at the old Foxborough Stadium, so that was the first time it had ever happened in that building.
How about that? It's going to be – look, a lot of people don't like the Patriots. It's going to be super fun to watch Tom Brady come back and watch his middle finger tour, I think it's being called, throughout the rest of the league for the rest of the season. They're going to have a great time.
T-shirts. Yeah, the middle finger tour.
The middle finger tour. Yeah. All right, we're talking to Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the NFL and DirecTV – excuse me, Up to the Minute on the NFL Network.
Same show. We just changed the name on the show.
And DirecTV's Red Zone Channel. I have to ask you this. The Panthers, what the hell happened to that club between last year and this year?
How about the fact that the two teams that played for the NFC Championship, the Panthers and the team that beat the Cardinals, are both 1-3?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absurd. A lot of things happened to the Panthers. I think people just kind of caught up to their running game, number one. Number two, their running game is banged up. Jonathan Stewart's still not playing. Number three, they let Josh Norman go. And that you can't say that that's not going to affect your secondary. And Josh Norman's sitting in Washington. And he said yesterday, when asked about Julio Jones, 300 yards.
Yeah.
That he said, I'm just going to sit here and sip my tea and not answer those questions. He actually said, sip my tea. They miss him, but I don't know that they miss him in a 1-3 way. I think if you go back, to last year, including the playoffs, granted, the only playoff game they lost was that really important one in Santa Clara.
Right. Sure. That was an important one.
Right. They are 4-5 in their last 9 games overall. So they've come back down to earth. They were 15-1 last year, but the only team to beat them in the regular season was the team that beat them yesterday. I don't know that they thought they were going to get boat raced like that, but they did.
How's Cam feeling this morning? Do you have any intel on that? They were treating him for a concussion?
Yeah, he's concussion protocol, which means he can't get cleared to practice or play until the independent team of physicians and he gets all the checkups and all that. So it'll be a day or two at least. But
he didn't
need to get hit. He even said afterwards, he said, blame me for that one. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it's 2-point conversion. and he carried the ball, and there was a whole, I mean, it was like the Red Sea parted, actually literally red because he's playing the Cardinal, I'm sorry, the Falcons, and he started to prance and celebrate and basically walk into the end zone. Walk. And
how'd that work out?
It didn't work out because Deion Jones, the linebacker, just decided, I'm going to blow you up if you're going to walk into the end zone. I mean, you are still a runner. And he was, in essence, walking. And he hit him face up. And, I mean, Cam was pretty much out on his feet. And he did, look, his words, not mine. I deserved it.
Right. Wow.
And he said, I'm never going to do that again. And I assume he'll be okay by Sunday, but I don't know. Carson Palmer's the one you got.
That's what I was going to ask too. Yeah, for the Cardinals.
Right, because I believe they play Thursday. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I could be wrong on that one. That's a short week to come back from a concussion. Not good.
Okay. All right. Last question for me, Andrew. And again, up to the minute NFL Network today at 1, Red Zone Channel, DirecTV every Sunday. How are you feeling as a Browns fan today?
The same.
So the last three games. They coulda, woulda, shoulda, and they lost to teams that maybe aren't that good. I mean, the Dolphins aren't any good.
Right?
The Redskins aren't any good. Sorry, Chip. They're not any good. It's the way they lost. Like, they should have beaten the Dolphins, but the dude missed three field goals.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they turned the ball over a couple of times. That's on them. But one of them was a fumble that honestly didn't happen. Like, I think the ball might have come out of Duke Johnson's belly as he's going to the ground, but he fell on it. So everyone's trying to scramble, but he had the ball. This is out of a movie. He stands up with the ball. Look, I have it. And the officials are trying to pull the Redskins off the pile while they look for the ball. Like, I'm here with the ball. And they signal, Redskins football. Said, wait a minute, I'm here with the ball.
That's unbelievable.
And they said, of course it goes to review. And because it was, this is just like, you know, the fine print of the rules, because it was signaled Redskins football, they couldn't overturn it because they didn't have video evidence that at one point the Redskins had the ball as signaled under the pile, and then after it was determined that they had the ball, he took it back. And so they can't prove that they never did have the ball. Therefore, if it was ruled on the field that he did, he must have had it.
I don't understand what you just said.
That's hilarious.
He stood up with the ball. They said, other team has it. No, it's right here.
That's so weird.
Well, the Browns find new ways to screw things up. That's what you love about it.
And you know who they face this week?
Who?
Allie?
Oh, that's right. Yes. Tom Brady returns to play Cleveland. That's right.
Middle finger tour.
That's right.
First stop. Cleveland.
Oh, that's going to be delightful for so many reasons. All right, man, we'll let you get on with it. Thank you so much for jumping on today. We really appreciate it.
Good night, guys. Want to light it now. Can't afford more than. Hey!
I don't
think so.
Mm. Agree or disagree?
No. I think you're being outvoted.
It's empirical evidence.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Welcome to Monday. Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
You know what happens on Saturday? You go to Santa Anita and you drink. You drink your face off. That's what I'm telling you to do. Go to the K-Rock Brew Fest at Santa Anita this Saturday.
Yay!
It's a good time. There's races that you can wager on. And if you choose the correct horse, they will give you more money than you gave them to place the wager.
That seems cool.
Very cool.
Plus, this guy will yell,
hold up your beers if you're drinking.
He sure will.
So you got that going for you.
Gates open at 11 a.m. If you enter through gate 6, there's free parking. There's going to be 40 microbrews, a ton of food trucks. By the way, also the K-Rock team there will be giving away a trip for two to Voodoo Fest in New Orleans Halloween weekend.
All right.
It's a great day at the track. So if you'd like to go to the K-Rock Brew Fest at Santa Anita, I am going to give away a 4-pack of VIP tickets to two lucky winners. This includes a 4-pack of tickets plus drink vouchers and a racing program. It's a good time. So give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers at that phone number win a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Brew Fest at Santa Anita this Saturday. It's Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children debuted at number one, $28.5 million. I haven't seen it, but it looks good. I want to see it. I like that Tim Burton.
Same, same.
He does visually interesting films. Deepwater Horizon debuted with $20.6 million. Magnificent Seven came in at number three with $15.7 million. Then Storks and Sully rounding out the top five. Masterminds debuted with $6.6 million. Then Queen of Katwe at number seven. Don't Breathe, Bridget Jones's Baby, and Snowden rounding out the rest of the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Don't believe the rumors. Hugh Hefner's alive and kicking.
There's a new one each day.
There was a death hoax over the weekend that apparently Hefner passed away at the Playboy Mansion. But no, he's there. He's fine. The 90-year-old mogul is still very much alive. He's just scrapbooking his ass off right there. Just sitting in the bed, just making scrapbooks. That's what he does now. Plays backgammon. Kind of sad. Hey, this Kardashian story. Scary stuff. Kim Kardashian held up at gunpoint in her Paris hotel room. A group of masked men dressed as police officers bound and gagged her, stole her jewelry, and it was all very terrifying. Kanye West was on stage at the time in New York City, and once he heard about the news, he abruptly left the show about a half an hour early. But the good news is, he started the show about a half an hour late. So people who attended the show just got a little smattering of
just
West.
Just a taste.
They got like a song in a quarter.
You don't want to overdose it. You just want to get a little, just enough to keep you interested. So that's what they got. Meanwhile, those crazy Jenner sisters, they're at it again. This 19-year-old Kylie, she just bought her fourth house. She moved into an 8-bedroom, 11-bath mansion that set her back $12 million.
And she's how old?
She's 19 years old, Bean.
And the house was how much?
That'd be $12 million, sir.
And how many other houses does she have?
This is her fourth home.
She's doing all right.
She's doing all right. Meanwhile, Kendall, she got a new tattoo inside her bottom lip that says meow. So not quite as impressive. A weekend? Really? But, you know.
Inside of your lip?
Yeah.
Can you even see that?
No. Nope.
Yeah, you have to pull it down.
You have to pull it down and say, oh, look, it says meow in my lip.
Okay.
And I'd say, oh, look, it says bark on my fist. And then bang, lights out, right? Then dog meets cat, yo.
Is that what we're saying?
I don't know. I don't even know where I am. I don't know what's happening. A little woozy. And has Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne, have they forgiven each other? And have they really kissed and made up? Well, not according to the National Enquirer. This story is, I'm guaranteeing you, 99% chance is total BS. But I want it to be true with all the power in my soul.
Okay.
Apparently, Sharon is not quite trusting of Ozzy yet because, wait for it, she has invested in what's known as a smart mattress, which can detect any sexual activity and then sends an alert to her cell phone if it registers boinking.
That's a real thing?
I have no idea. As I said to you, Kevin, this is more than likely 100% false, but I want it
to
be
so. I'm with you on wanting that to be true.
That would be the best thing ever. If the smart mattress sends you a blip, 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 you get an alert on like an app saying, coitus, like a coitus alert.
Look, it's not a good idea to cheat, but it's really bad form to do it in the family bed, right?
That's why you need a smart mattress.
But I mean,
you're listening to me.
Ozzy goes to her house, though, is the plan, right?
All right, we need two smart mattresses.
And here's some good news. ABC has announced the return of the Gong Show, right? Right?
Sorry?
Come on. The Gong Show.
I like it.
The Gong Show.
I remember very little of that, except for, I think, Sam the Armenian Comedian, was he on it?
I think he was.
Wow.
I think he needs to be on the new version.
Agreed.
And Count Smokula, right?
Right.
ABC is really just mining that old graveyard of game shows that they have, and they are bringing back, apparently, the Gong Show. Here's my thing. I believe that they've tried this a couple times. They brought the Gong Show back a couple times. The Gong Show may have been a unique moment, a time and place in history where that was sort of its time. Because it was low rent and cheesy, and this was before reality television where people were willing, where we were sort of just beginning to mine that shaft full of lunatics and people who are desperate to be on television and wanted all that attention.
But aren't they still there?
But
now they're on the internet.
We've seen them everywhere.
Yeah, they're on YouTube.
Every YouTube video and every reality show and the Big Brother and we've got it. We got it. They're everywhere. This is not a glimpse inside sort of the weird periphery of society anymore. So how interesting can the Gong Show be if someone gets on there and tells awful jokes or can't sing or does a bad dance or something?
But the...
Oh, good point, Kevin. Thanks for bringing that up. I didn't realize that there was a gong involved.
In the Gong Show.
Pearls
Ralph,
before
did you
swine,
mention
man.
Who's hosting?
Well, Will Arnett's producing.
Oh, okay.
And they have not announced a host yet, but I'm guessing maybe Will... be involved perhaps somehow. It says Will Arnett is not hosting.
Okay.
A revolving panel of judges, though, the press release says, featuring some of Hollywood's biggest names.
Yeah.
Will praise, critique, and, of course, gong contestants.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us have had an ass full of shows with judges critiquing, too.
Look, I could be completely wrong. This could be a smash hit. I enjoyed the hell out of the original, that's for sure. I just don't know whether...
I love bad, so I feel like I'll like it.
Yeah, look, it could happen. It could happen.
All right.
Look, we on this show certainly have never gotten tired of bad.
Right.
So
because it's the best.
There may be more room in our lives for bad.
Need to get Sam back on that show.
Need to wait and see. We need to get Sam his own show, right?
Sure.
You guys need to do a breakfast. Why don't you do a breakfast with Sam, the Armenian comedian?
He's never mentioned that he wants that.
Bring the band in, have him do some live numbers, do a Q&A with the listeners. I'm for it, Sam. I don't know about the... I'll give you their personal numbers. You can call them.
I'm all excited, brother.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Greg Proops is 57 years old today. Tommy Lee is 54. Clive Owen turns 52. Gwen Stefani's 47 years old today. Kevin Richardson turns 45. Lena Headey is 43 years old. Neve Campbell, also 43. Sean William Scott turns 40. And Alicia Vikander celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Shut up. Is special toilet water?
Shut up.
What's happening?
I don't want to talk about it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 808.
I'm so excited. I just looked ahead to tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show. Not only our friend Greg Fitzsimmons making his return to the program, but actor Keith Stanfield will be here. He is Darius on Atlanta,
Stop
you guys.
It.
Is Darius Rucker?
Nope.
No.
Darius, he is amazing.
He's the best.
He's the best character on that show, and I believe he also played Snoop Dogg in the Straight Outta Compton movie,
too.
So he is a great actor, and that is going to be super fun to have him in
studio.
I want
to be with you.
That's Hootie.
Nope, you're confused. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I started thinking about that conversation we had last week. Remember you came in and you talked about that panic you had one morning last week because, very uncharacteristic for you, you couldn't put your hands on your car keys when you expected to leave the house.
Lost my car keys, yes.
Remember? And it really was very upsetting for you because you've got a system and you stick to it and it has never failed you in all the years you've been working on this program until that one day last week.
Yes.
And we started talking about how different that is from Kevin, who believes in purposefully putting his car keys in a different location every single day because he likes that adrenaline rush first thing in the morning when he's walking out the door.
Kevin lives a life of chaos.
He does. Kevin is his life is perpetually on a razor, and I don't know how he's able to still be alive at this point. But Kevin's a guy who likes to leave for the airport for a flight with not quite enough time to park and get through security.
I mean, I don't like it, but...
You do like it. Honestly,
like
or you
it.
Wouldn't
you,
do
I,
it.
Choose
I
it.
I don't really enjoy that.
You must, you because you it. Do it everything, every option you get. You always choose the worst one. So you
I
must think
that's
the best. That you must enjoy it. Who else... Why would someone do that if they didn't enjoy it? If you hated it, you certainly would change.
Well, I feel like... yeah, that's a good point. I feel like I just can't get my S together and quick enough to get to the airport in time every time.
Yeah, that's a complex system, Kevin, try to get to an airport earlier than you do. What could you change there to change the outcome? I can't imagine the levers
point.
And pulleys that must go into that mechanics
that's
to try to get
saying.
Someplace earlier than later.
That's my point.
No, you're just not.
So I thought I understood how Kevin lives, and then I saw this tweet from him last week, and it really just spun me. I just started thinking about, again, imagine if any of us, if this were our life, Kevin tweeted a photo of his car dashboard with the words distance to empty on it. Mm-hmm. 0 miles is when he pulled into the gas station, all right? And here's how he interpreted. Like, I would see that and I would go, oh, my God, I am so stupid. How could I have waited till they got this low to buy gas? You've got 500 miles warning that you're going to run out of gas. At some point in 500 miles, pull over and get some gas. But Kevin waits to zero. And then he tweets this. A, made it. B, new record.
Yeah.
C, keep doing what I'm doing.
Right? Because a week before that, it was 1 mile to empty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kevin.
So then.
You win then, right?
So I won. I beat my own record.
And I don't know what kind of fancy car you have here, Kevin. But
I have a Ford.
In addition to 0 miles, underneath that, it even is even more specific. He was 007008.4 miles from empty. Okay? So that's about three-quarters of a mile until he ran completely out of gas. Now, what would have happened if there hadn't been a gas station in that final mile
Because you're not a precise person, Bean, like
right.
I am.
You don't know the lay of the land like
right.
Kevin does.
So
he
what
has awareness of his surroundings at all times.
So what happens is a lot of times I'm late for something, so now I don't have time. I go, you know what? I have to drive to work, and I know how many miles that is, and mm-hmm. I still have 25 left, so what's the big deal?
Okay. Right.
So then I get to work at the very last second, right. and then when I'm going home.
You drive home, you're not thinking about it. You're like, I'll just make it home, and then you go home.
Right. I think I'll go later tonight, and then, right. you know, sometimes it doesn't happen, and I go to a doctor's appointment or someplace else, and I'm a little bit late, so I don't have time.
Okay, right. But all of us
so
have those things. We all go to work. We all go to doctor's appointments. We all go to parties. We all go to all of these things, but at some point we realize we have to buy gasoline because that's what our automobile runs on.
I bought gas.
Okay, but how about when it was at a half a tank or at a quarter tank? There are so many opportunities for you to never have to worry about it getting to less than zero.
My car lets me know at 30 miles.
Mine does 50 and 25.
And I never knew that until 2 weeks ago because I never go at least – usually a quarter of a tank. That's my limit. Like, oh, my God, I need gas. It got to that 30 miles and I was – terrified.
Were you white knuckling it?
Oh, my God.
You're terrified of everything.
Yeah, really.
Really.
You were terrified of 30
miles. Your sphincter tightens when Dateline NBC comes on.
Totally does. But what if in that time there was an earthquake and then all the gas stations shut down?
Here's the thing about my man Kevin, and you know, no one likes to take a shot better than me. I am on fumes almost all the time.
I would have picked you for the opposite of that.
I have been down to zero in the past month. Three times.
That makes me so happy.
And I was talking to Christine about it in the other office. Same thing with her. Same thing.
Are you kidding me?
Like, what's with you people?
I saw this and I thought this was only Kevin.
No.
Because who else would intentionally go to zero?
Well, no one intentionally goes there, but you're busy living your life and getting around and stuff. And sometimes you don't necessarily look down at the dash and you got things to do.
Or you calculate in your head. It's
right,
only
right.
9 miles.
I'll make it here and I know I'm only going 4 miles,
right.
So I'll get to it when I get to it.
Right.
Isn't there some danger that your car is not as precise at keeping track as you hope it is, Kevin? And it may say you have 1 mile left, but you don't.
Your car might be a liar.
I tested it.
What if your car's a liar?
By the way, that zero thing, and I looked into this.
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
Ralph.
It's very generous. It gives it tells you you're at zero way before you're at zero.
Kevin,
so to get a new record, will it say minus
negative.
One?
I don't think it ever goes below zero, but it makes you panic. You guys still have a little bit more time after that.
You guys are awful.
Yeah.
USA!
Right?
USA! USA!
Sounds like we're in the minority.
USA! USA!
Congratulations, Joanna Hira from Westchester. Just won a 4-pack of Park Hopper passes to Disneyland and access to the K-Rock private party.
That sounds like a pretty good deal, and we got those you can win all day long today on K-Rock. Ralph mentioned earlier Saturday Night Live returned for its, I want to say, 42nd season? Does that sound right, Allie? Something
sure.
like that?
Sure.
I like it. Yes, 42nd.
It's been around a while. They're cold open. You know, they've been gone all summer long, so they got a lot of ground to cover with the presidential campaign that's in progress. But their cold open was the debut of Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump. Great casting, by the way. And I read an interview with Lorne Michaels from SNL who said it was Tina Fey's idea. She called him and said, you got to get Alec Baldwin to be Donald Trump. He'd be great at it. And he was. And Kate McKinnon, once again, reprising her role as Hillary Clinton. So they're doing the debate. And I was wondering going into this, How do you parody that debate?
Yeah.
Because it was so bizarre and so funny in its own right with some of the things that happened. But they did a pretty good job. And the first question to Donald Trump is, how is he going to be better for America getting jobs than Secretary Clinton? Here's Alec Baldwin.
I've got a very presidential answer for this. Our jobs are fleeing this country. They're going to Mexico. They're going to China. That'll stop that. If Hillary knew how, she would have done it already, period. End of story. I won the debate. I stayed calm, just like I promised, and it is over. Good night, Hofstra.
He turns to walk off.
Donald, there's still 88 minutes left. It's a 90-minute debate.
My microphone is broken. She broke it with Obama. She and Obama stole my microphone. They took it to Kenya. They took my microphone to Kenya and they broke it and now it's broken. Yeah, I was picking up somebody sniffing here. I think it's her sniffs. She's been sniffing all night. Testing, testing, gina, gina, huge gina.
Secretary Clinton, what do you think about that?
I think I'm going to be president.
All right, so Kate McKinnon, so great as Hillary Clinton, but they don't let her off the hook either because, let's face it, she's got some problems as a candidate as well, and this is the next one. It's a question for Hillary Clinton.
The Iraq war is all about judgment. Secretary Clinton, do you think you have better judgment than Mr. Trump?
Yes. Of course I do. Donald Trump has terrible judgment. He makes bad decisions. He's spent his life cheating middle-class laborers. Laborers like my own human father, who made, I guess, drapes or printed drapes or sold drapes or some with drapes, and he was relatable, and I am also relatable.
Because she's a robot. Lester, who's played by Michael Che in this sketch, by the way, Michael Che is playing Lester Holt, moderator of the first debate, and he's trying to wrap it up.
Well, this has been an illuminating debate, but now it's time for our final...
Alicia Machado!
I'm sorry, what was that? Who is Alicia Machado?
Thank you for bringing that up, Lester. She is a strong, beautiful political prop that I almost forgot to mention tonight, even though we already made a web video about her. Alicia Machado was Miss Universe in 1996.
Where'd you find this?
And Donald Trump called her Miss Piggy.
How do you know this?
And Miss Housekeeping.
That's pretty funny.
Mr. Trump, your response.
Lester, why are we talking about this woman? We should be talking about the important issues like Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay.
And how she's a fat loser. And everyone agrees with me, and I just wanted to bring that up in a presidential debate. Right at the end, my own volition, good idea, I did it.
Secretary Clinton, why are you crying?
I'm sorry, Lester. This is going so well.
And finally, closing statements. Again, we're listening to SNL, Kate McKinnon, and Alec Baldwin as Mr. Trump and Ms. Clinton.
Okay, and now it's time to move on to the closing statements. Secretary Clinton, you're first.
Listen, America, I get it. You hate me. You hate my voice and you hate my face. Well, here's a tip. If you never want to see my face again, elect me president and I swear to God I will lock myself in the Oval Office and not come out for 4 years. But if you don't elect me, I will continue to run for president until the day I die.
I don't doubt it.
You'll never die.
Mr. Trump, final remarks.
You know what, Lester? I was going to say something extremely rough to Hillary tonight, but I said to myself, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But if I had said it, it would have been a nuclear bomb. Because in the 90s, our president was a man named Bill Clinton. Not many people know this, but that man is her husband. And in 1998, get this, he had an affair. It's true. My investigators are looking into it right now. It was a woman. Named Monica, very heavy. I don't have her last name yet, but when I get it, I'm going to set my alarm for 3:20 a.m. I go sit on my golden toilet bowl and tweet about it until completion.
Got a few more weeks left of SNL before the election. I'm so glad they're back. Our friend Jensen Karp, who is the Kevin Bean hip-hop correspondent, tweeted a couple of weeks ago that Regulate is the best hip-hop song of all time.
That's a good one.
It just started off a firestorm of controversy here in the office about whether that's not only is it number one or not, is it in the top five? Because everybody's got their songs they think should be in the top five. So we're going to discuss with Jensen when he comes in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. That should be a lot of fun.
We went to Beer Mug's wedding. Yeah. Beer Mug got married.
Well, I lost the office pool. Remember when
Nope.
I think they're on their honeymoon. We can bring this up now. Remember when it was announced that they were getting married and then the pool was how long will they stay married? And I put all of my chips on the wedding will never happen. I was convinced that those kids would
but
not get married.
But you love love, don't you?
I obviously do. I'm all about odd. Love. I love too much. That's what the criticism against me is. So I wasn't there, of course, because I'm me. How was it? By all accounts, I heard everybody had a great time.
It was a place called Saddle Rock Ranch,
mm-hmm.
and there were all kinds of animals there, including a giraffe.
Yeah,
which was awesome.
Named Stanley.
And a couple of zebras. I don't know. It was just it was a beautiful place, and mm-hmm. it was a beautiful wedding. And
hot was it on Saturday?
It was oh my God! As I was driving there, I was driving through the valley, and it was getting up 98, 101, 102, and I'm like, God. Damn it.
It's going to be a long
beer mug. I got there and it was 79 degrees at their location. It was perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Kevin, how'd you do in your monkey suit?
I was all right. You
okay.
know, I don't like dressing up, but mm-hmm. my conversation with my wife on the way there was weird in that I thought, hey, you know what? I haven't brought up Mama Mugs yet.
Oh, dear.
So,
well, at some point, you've got to tell
and
her.
And I'm not positive, you know, exactly what's going to happen. So maybe I should let her know. You know how we sometimes joke around? That was my opening statement.
All right. So did you go on to explain that you have been threatening all month long that when you got to the wedding, you were going to nail Beer Mug's mom?
It's not a threat as much as it is. I didn't think she would be able to resist me.
Okay. And how did Melissa take the news that you were going to be cheating on her at the wedding?
She just shook her head like she always does. She's just like, what a dumbass. So we get there, and it was beautiful, and Nicole wrote out her own vows, and it was beautiful. And then I was like, oh, no. Now it's going to be Muggs'
yeah.
turn. And she really nailed it.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, no, this is extra pressure for Muggs. And he had a prop.
Yeah.
Chapstick.
Yeah.
And he did this thing where he was like, do you need some chapstick? I'm going to put it on my lips and then I'll kiss you. And
that was his first move with her 10 years ago.
And Bean, I'm here to tell you, he was great.
It
was worked, huh?
Incredible.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
I couldn't even breathe when it was his turn.
You were so
nervous.
So terrified.
Like, oh, come on. And then some of the animals. I don't
well,
know
hold
if
on a second. Before
this.
Before you move on, I love that. It's so funny that you should say that because we know how Muggs is when he has a microphone. Right. And you were picturing all those hundreds of red carpet interviews and interviews that he's done with people on the street where he just can't stop talking and can't start making sense.
Right.
And you were just feel like he was going to get up there and he was just going to be rambling.
When I think of weddings, I think of Brad and Angelina. That's what I expected him
exactly.
to say. Something like that where you go, no, wave him off.
They didn't make it, but that doesn't mean
right.
we won't. And then you realize he's lost. But
yeah.
it sounded like he was prepped and ready
he
to
was
go
prepped.
And it all
it was
worked.
Great.
The only thing is the entire animal kingdom was objecting. Why don't they let people object anymore? Have they eliminated that from all ceremonies?
I think they have.
Because a long time ago, they used to say, if anyone here has any reason.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, by the way, as I understand it, is if somebody in the audience has information that the wedding is illegal, for instance, somebody stands
oh, that's
up and
how
goes,
it started?
Yes, because that guy's still married, for instance, or, you know, she's a felon or whatever, a fugitive or whatever it is. But yeah, I don't think
she
they put that
her own death.
I don't think they put that in most modern ceremonies anymore.
But the animals didn't wait because while in the middle of the ceremony, we heard.
What is this place?
And then in the background, you hear, I, Muggs, take you before to be my husband.
Did they get married next to a zoo?
It was so loud. I was like, the whole animal world is objecting to this wedding.
And no one's listening
Nobody
to them.
And I was looking now exclusively at the animals to see if they were going to charge. I don't know what's going to happen, but they looked like they were all in one mind.
Now, Dave tells me there was a huge celebrity animal at the wedding.
Well, yeah, Stanley the giraffe.
Stanley the giraffe from?
The Hangover.
From The Hangover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's the one, remember, who was sticking through the roof of the sunroof there? The car hit by the overpass.
He was lovely. He was taking pictures with people. He would let you pet him. He would lick your hand. Stanley was a delight.
Stanley was so nice. Yeah, it's on.
It's okay.
So it went well. I mean, even after all the animals were trying to ruin it, and Muggs' daughter, which is, she's the sweetest little girl in the world, she objected as well.
Had a lot to say during the ceremony, I heard.
She's a baby.
But she was,
there was a lot going on.
Yes. But honestly, wasn't that a little bit funny?
It was hysterical.
because she was, I don't know, 100 yards from the ceremony.
Yeah, they brought her down, and then she started acting up a little bit, so they brought her very far away.
A long ways. Maybe a mile.
And you could still hear her wailing.
Right. Aww. So finally they brought her back and handed her to Nicole, and she quieted her down instantly.
Within a second, yeah.
And they said their vows, and they got married, and we had the reception, and everything went well.
Did you ever have a face-to-face conversation with Beer Mug's mom?
Of course.
And how did that go? Was it a little bit awkward? Because the expectation was that it was on.
Oh,
this on my phone. I brought this on my phone with me just in case I needed it.
No.
Yeah. Hey, Mama Mugs. How's it going? She said, do I look like you thought I would look like?
Yes.
Right?
She didn't say
she
that.
She said, do I look like you thought I would? She did say that.
Oh,
and that's her way of asking is if it was still on or not.
Yeah, and that's my answer. So I'm now Mugs' dad.
Congratulations.
Six point seven K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
It'd be fun.
It would be fun. Look, if you love a person and they have a book, it's kind of nice to have them autograph the book for you.
Wrong.
Okay. All right.
I'd do that if Mel Brooks was signing. I'd get in line and get an autograph.
I was asking off the air. I was asking Ralph.
How long? How long
are you
waiting?
Probably an hour.
That's your top. That's, that's the high end of your wait time.
Sure.
Okay. Cheers.
I was asking Ralph, because he's a fellow Bruce Springsteen fan, if he was thinking about getting his book signed, because Mr. Springsteen has an autobiography out now. Why? You know, he's in town at the Grove tonight at the Barnes & Noble. People are lined up already to get that signature.
Oh.
But
oh, yeah, Allie, overnight. They were days in advance.
I'm sorry.
See? That's what I'm
maybe
saying.
Too much.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. What's the best case scenario? Mr. Springsteen, I love you. Thanks. Can you sign this for me? Sure. Next! Best case scenario.
That's it all goes well.
That's your 36 hours in line. That's your payoff.
Right, but you have...
What are you, insane?
But you have an autographed copy of Bruce Springsteen's book for the rest of your
life. That I can
life.
Get on eBay for $100 next week.
Okay. If that's the same to you, then being there and shaking
his
hand...
It is the same. It's the same end result.
So I'm putting you down for a no, then?
Beam would start talking to him, and then everybody in line would be, come on, man, no, just get out of the way.
Let me ask you, and Born to Run on the second side, and when you were recording...
Get out of the way!
I have a serious question.
We've been waiting for 36 hours!
I have a legitimate question here, please. Mind your manners. So, when the East Street Shuffle, with that... song. Was there a dance called the Shuffle? Or was it just... were you just talking about just walking on E Street? When Clarence would... Please, mind your own business. I'm talking here.
We've been waiting 40 hours now. When
all right.
New Jersey.
So no. So you're a no. All right, you're a no. I get it. Time for another one of Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning.
No one's ever gotten it less. Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children debuted with $28.5 million last weekend. People like that stuff, that spooky, witchy stuff, right?
I don't have time to see it, but I want to.
This is like X-Men meets Harry Potter meets... Sabrina the Teenage Witch meets Witchy Poo meets other witches, things that have witch in them. Chipwitch meets Chipwitch meets Sandwich.
Come on.
I don't...
I don't
think Deep Horizon debuted with $20.6 million. Magnificent Seven is third. Storks is fourth. Sully came in at number five. Masterminds debuted with $6.6 million. Made it number six. 666.
Oh.
Just dawned on me. Queen of Katwe is seventh. Don't Breathe. Bridget Jones's Baby and Snowden rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kim Kardashian held up by gunpoint in her Paris hotel room while she was there for Paris Fashion Week. Terrifying story. Group of masked men dressed as police officers broke into the facility, held the concierge at gunpoint, who let them into Kim's room, stole a bunch of very expensive jewelry. She was apparently bound, put into the bathtub. And then first responders had to apparently use the jaws of life to get her ass out of the bathtub. So that is just that's a story, story that is problematic on every level.
Is that in the story injury that you're reading?
And we wish her, of course, the best and a speedy recovery.
I don't think that's
to her ass
part of it.
You don't think I feel bad?
I don't know. Never really thought about it. Saturday Night Live's ratings for the season opener were its best in 8 years. Did not hurt that Alec Baldwin was introduced in his season-long role as Donald Trump. Crushed it in the opening segment with he and Kate McKinnon doing a replay of the debate. Very, very funny stuff. Margot Robbie was the special host that night. Boy, is she talented and funny and charming and beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot going on, that girl. I predict big things for her.
Do you?
Yeah. All I think she's going to go far in this business. So that's good news for
them. I was surprised they didn't do a Suicide Squad bit.
I was sort of relieved. Sometimes they can be a little on the nose with those things, like, oh, this is in the moment, we're going to do a parody. Although they did a very strange parody of what was obviously Scooby-Doo, but they did not have any of the Scooby-Doo characters' names or the dog in the sketch at all.
But it was a dead-on impression otherwise. It was very weird.
It's very disturbing. Wow. And deeply unfunny, but that's besides the point. It was just odd to have them dressed up like the characters from Scooby-Doo and not have it be a Scooby-Doo parody.
So Scooby-Don't.
Oh, man.
Why?
What?
You're killing me today, Allie. You are killing me.
File that. What did you think of The Weeknd's two performances?
I thought, look how quickly my DVR can fast forward. That's what I thought. I was very impressed by the speed with which my DVR could propel me through time.
He moved a lot compared to what I've seen. I mean, he, like, stepped to the left a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And then at another time, he picked up the mic stand a little bit.
Ooh.
It was crazy.
Oh, he knew Adidas. Or Pumas.
Pumas.
Whatever.
He's the ambassador of Puma.
I heard that.
Yes. I love ambassadors. There was an ambassador at Muggs' wedding.
Oh, there was, yeah.
Yeah, we saw an ambassador. Was there.
That's true.
T-Mobile ambassador was there. Today's celebrity birthdays. Greg Proops is 57 years old today. Tommy Lee turns 54. Clive Owen is 52. Gwen Stefani, 47.
Look at your watch now.
No, that's not Gwen.
You're a super hot female.
I don't think that is,
you got $1 million contract.
I believe.
And you're still waiting for your hot track.
I don't think.
Sounds as good as ever.
Kevin Richardson of the Backstreet Boys is 45. Lena Headey is 43 years old. Nev Campbell, also 43. Sean William Scott celebrates his 40th birthday. And Alicia Vikander celebrates her 28th birthday. All right, okay.
Attractive. She's pretty.
Just maybe say less.
Mr. Springsteen, if I can just have a moment of your time.
It's been 4 days.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business beat.
Intro or no intro for our guest today?
I think intro.
Hit it.
Chance to cough. Your flow is so tight. You rock the mic right. I can't believe you're white. Chance to cough. Come on, blow up the spot. The world famous K-Rock. Let's talk hip-hop.
Chance to cough is the Kevin Bean hip-hop correspondent. He is, in fact, the white guy, which makes us all vaguely uncomfortable. But he certainly has...
I don't think you can hear me.
Turn down. Turn down, Kevin.
With the...
What? He's the author of the book, which is hilarious. And if you don't have it by now, you're no friend of mine. Kanye West owes me $300 and other true stories from a white rapper who also made it big. And he also is going to be behind the new show Drop the Mic on TBS, debuting next year based on James Corden's celebrity rap battles. That is going to be fun, Jensen.
It is. And I'm already going to apologize ahead of time. If you've tuned in to listen to Imagine Dragons or a Save Ferris throwback, we're turning this into Hot 97. That right now, K-Rock is hip-hop. Consider me your DJ Khaled. I'm taking it today. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
Wow.
Let's go.
So a couple of weeks ago, September 21st, Jensen tweets out something that really caught my attention.
And a bunch of people, yeah.
And it is just this, out of nowhere. Nobody was talking about it. Just out of nowhere, Jensen tweets, hot take, Regulate is the greatest hip-hop song of all time.
Standing by it.
Wrong.
Standing
where
by
did
it.
That, wrong. But where did this tweet come from,
yeah,
Jensen? What was going on in your life?
Here's what happens. I'm driving down the street. I'm not feeling great. I'm in my car. It's beautiful weather in Los Angeles. I'm flipping around the channels. Hits Regulate. I become immediately happier. I turn it up, roll the windows down. I realize, you know what? That's the best hip-hop song ever made.
16 in the clip and one in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make somebody's turn.
It's pretty. It's a pretty great song.
It's great.
It's great. Also, it tells a very strange story. I don't know.
It is an odd story.
I don't know if you follow it, but somehow they might get robbed by women, but then still might want to get the women. It's, you know? It's a little weird. But
a guy like you who has grown up worshiping hip-hop.
Yes.
How do you even pick a best song? You must have 200 favorite hip-hop songs.
I do. And also, like, there are ones that are my favorites that are so obscure they wouldn't make sense on a rap station, let alone a K-Rock. It's just that I can look at these things, and I'm telling you, I can hear them and understand where they were time-wise, what they meant to the culture, what went on. And I'm not saying that I'll make one caveat. Regulate is the best rap song of all time ever made, but I will argue that if you grew up on the East Coast, Juicy, Notorious B.I.G. is the greatest rap song ever made. Those are that I'll give you that.
Huh.
I'll give you that.
It's weird. Like, someone had this conversation the other day, and you all said, shut up, Allie.
I believe I did hear that on Friday from Allie.
That did happen.
Okay. But I'm not, I don't agree, because I still think I'm from the West Coast. Regulate's the greatest song ever made. But I will allow to understand what it meant for you and New York City and rap moving forward.
I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same
again, we're in the mix at K-Rock. This is Kevin and Bean. We taking you down. I hope you feeling good today, because we about to take it there. Let's go.
I'm doing
my hip-hop DJ.
I liked it.
Where's Juicy on your top five list, Allie?
It is number two.
We all made a list.
On
great.
Mine.
I made lists.
Okay.
Great.
It is number two on mine.
It's number two on yours.
Yes. Because there is a song that should be number one on everyone's list.
Okay.
And if it's not,
and it's not
you're
on
crazy.
Well,
it's not. Is it Paul Abdul Opposites Attract?
It is not. It is not. How dare you?
It's not MC Skullcat.
How dare you?
Okay.
No, it is going to be a song called The Message.
See, now.
Okay. I see Jesse put his hands up.
I get it. I get
you can't argue with The Message's place in history.
I can't argue it in history, but what I can argue it. The golden era of hip-hop, to me, has done more for the culture. So when you're talking the Regulate Juicy era, I understand The Message is great. I also understand Sugar Hill Gang is great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has progressed the culture as much as these things we'll talk about.
Don't push me.
Sorry.
I am close to the edge.
Sorry, guys.
You are wrong. Incorrect.
No. And also, I just want to say, I'm open to people arguing with me. I just know they're wrong.
Well, I did see your tweet that you were going to come on the show and everything you said was going to be right.
Yeah, that's because that's the truth.
I don't feel like that's a good way to look at it.
Well, that's what it's going to be. You want to hear a couple of my other favorites?
Yes, and let me open up the phones, too. We're inviting our listeners to weigh in as well. If you have a song,
I would yell at them.
Yeah.
If you have a song that is your number one greatest hip-hop song of all time, or if we've already mentioned your number one, you have another song that you insist is in the top five of all time, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Yes, Jensen. What else you got?
I have Nas, It Ain't Hard to Tell. I have Wu-Tang Clan, Cream, Cash Rules Everything Around Me. I have Outkast, Bombs Over Baghdad. That's a controversial pick for Outkast, but
I think
it's
all great songs.
Phenomenal. I'll say Mobb Deep, Shook Ones Part 2.
Yes! Number three on my list.
There you go. Pete Rock, When They Reminisce Over You. I'll give even more later. Tupac, Dear Mama. That's his best song.
Curtis Blow. These are the breaks.
I'll allow it. I also like basketball, but I don't know if I would put either on my list.
How dare you?
My number one.
Yes. Great song.
Come on now.
Very regional.
How is that not the best hip-hop song of all time?
It would be in my
top.
In LA, I think it would be.
Not in LA. Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere
no,
I put it,
me,
my 50.
Trust me, people in New York are not having that as their number one.
Wait, you'd put it in your 50?
Yeah, in LA. In my 50.
So in LA, it would only make your top 50.
Nationally
That's
top
my
100.
Number one song.
Nationally top 100.
Insane.
Nationally top 100, yeah.
Jensen, what is there to not like about California Love?
There is not anything. It's a great song. Do you know how many rap songs David Faustino put out? Do you know how many rap songs Shaquille O'Neal put out? There are a lot of rap songs.
Right.
To be in the top 50 or top 100 is the greatest possible thing you could see.
But that's my number one, and it's only making your top 50 in California.
That's still a great accomplishment.
1-800-520-1067. We'll start including your phone calls in a second. Can I pitch one?
Please.
And this may, Chip, you know what's coming here. This may also, Jensen, you may also say this is West Coast bias.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that definitely in my top five, and maybe my number one, would be this masterpiece.
So when I'm in your neighborhood, oh, I saw mine.
Feel like everything about that, the production, the rapping, the lyrics, the message, the place in history, the influence that it had. I mean,
yeah.
It just seems like that's top of the mountain for me.
I had it as sort of a tie, because Straight Outta Compton might be my favorite album, my favorite West Coast album ever made. I have it as a tie with F the Police, because I think together they give the message totally.
Yes. Yeah. F the Police is in my top, probably in my top five as well,
yes.
too, by the
so
way.
That's,
it's hard to choose.
That's a 1-2 punch.
But you can't have a tie if you're making a list.
I'll say F the Police, then, just to be different.
Just argue with Bean?
Yeah, that's me.
What was that? I just saw Craig Mack on the list up here.
For your list?
Sorry, I got excited looking at the phones.
Craig Mack, Flavor Near Remix.
Yeah.
I put it in my top 100.
Let's take Adrian Santa Ana, please. Line 4, 1-800-520-1067.
Let's go. We taking calls. This is hip hop radio today.
Good Lord.
More like K-rap. Let's do it.
Yes, what's going on, Adrian?
Jensen.
What's that?
Hey, guys, you got to put Eazy-E's Boys in the Hood on that list.
Great song.
They are
all. And where would you put it?
Top 50 LA.
Top 50 LA.
You guys ready to put California Love?
Right.
Number one.
Yeah.
And number three would be Ice Cube's Good Day.
Great song.
It's a great song.
Yeah, I'm going to say that might be a top 20.
Apparently, I'm a West Coast kid.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think we're gonna get a lot of West Coast because of where we are.
Sure.
I reflect a little more towards, even though I grew up here, I like East Coast rap a little more. But these are all true. That's a true statement.
It's tough to argue with this.
Yeah, this is great. Last week, messed
around and got a triple double. Jensen, how was It Was a Good Day received when it came out? Did people hate on Cube for going soft, or
no,
did they love it?
No, because that record is filled with technically hatred. That was a Riot's influenced album. That's the one where he's saying he's going to take out the police who beat Rodney King. I mean, that's a violent record. And then you have this nice break there. I mean, there's another song on the next album called Bop Gun with George Clinton that we can make fun of.
I like that, too.
Oh, we can make fun of it for years. But listen, I'm saying that at least this time, that was the one soft record combined with a lot of aggression.
Let's do one more before the break, and let's make it another West Coaster. Long Beach is going to be Josh and Line 5.
Oh, let me guess this one, Josh.
Here's a song that would be at a lot of our listeners' top five.
Let me guess, Snoop Dogg?
Yes, it's Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, well, come on, this is biased. Long Beach, come on.
We got to throw that out there, though. We got it. That's not on the top five. The next episode.
Listen.
I'd say next episode would make my top 10 easy.
Oh, just chill.
Easy.
It's
easy.
You
know what, though? The juicy choice. I kind of like that. Yeah. I had to think on that, and I think I'm rolling with that, though.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's hear a little bit of the next episode. Do we have that?
Don't have that one.
Allie, what's your problem with that? I mean, talk about an all-time classic that always sounds good any time, day or night.
Absolutely. But if you're saying the number one hip-hop song of all time, you can't have it as a West Coast song because nobody else around the country is going to be like, that's my number one, too.
I think that
it has to be more worldly.
If you were at a West Coast party and Next Episode came on, it might be your favorite hip-hop song of all time. I'm saying on a larger scale, if you play it at like any other state's party, they're going to be like, I like this song.
Yeah.
So we need to fly to Cincinnati and really poll the people there. That's what we need to do. Just make it fair, right?
And that's what we're doing today. We're all going to Cincinnati together. I'm going to play Ghetto Boys. Mine is playing tricks on me. Let's see how it's reacted to.
All right. Help us fill in the rest of our top five. 1-800-520-1067 with our guest Jensen Karp. We'll be back right after this.
Hip hop. Let's go. We are in the mix, right? You understand we're in hip hop radio, okay? That's what we're doing right now. This is Jensen Karp. We are right here in the mix. We're talking top five rap songs. We taking phone calls. We dropping bombs.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you,
the
Jesse.
First
well
thing
done.
That happened when you tweeted,
yes.
Which is that Regulate is the best hip hop song of all time.
Yes.
Is we had a conversation. Is he serious?
I was serious.
Yeah, we didn't know at the time, and that's serious. When we started bouncing around the other ideas
hot
of what
take.
Might be number one.
It's pretty impossible. As you pointed out, Jensen Karp in studio with us here on the Kevin Beach, our hip-hop correspondent, you pointed out that there have been thousands of rap songs, almost half of them by Shaquille O'Neal. So it's really hard to count down to just the top five. But what do we have that's kind of undisputed so far in the top five? We have at least a couple
so
songs.
So far,
right?
We have Regulate.
Yep.
Regulate, which we accept and agree with.
Really?
Yeah.
You were outnumbered.
You were outvoted.
Yep.
and Juicy by Biggie.
Yes, we have those.
Those are the only two in our top five.
The Message isn't up there?
I voted against The Message.
Yeah, same.
So it's out.
Sorry.
What is wrong with you guys?
Yo, we're taking no prisoners. This is no prisoners.
Here's the one that I think you might argue with, and that's I by Kendrick Lamar. That's in my top five.
Of all time.
Yes.
See, now, you'd think I'd fight back. It's on my, like, I listed it in my 20 that I wanted to at least bring up. I don't think I would say it's top five, but I do commend the decision. Because I think, for many reasons. One reason, it has ushered in a new era for hip-hop. This is what you see Chance the Rapper. This is where you see even G-Eazy and some of these guys who are getting... It's more positive hip-hop. It's a new era for hip-hop, and this is a great one to usher it in.
Right, but isn't it...
I thought I was going to get shouted down.
I'm
so happy.
It's very difficult in the moment of now to put things into historical perspective.
Yes.
That's how movies end up winning the Oscar for Best Picture of the Year, and then nobody ever watches them again, because for whatever reason, you just get caught up in the excitement of that year, and then the thing is done.
Yeah,
I don't know how I is going to age. Are we going to love it in 10 years?
Yes, I think that song is great, and I think it's a good pick. But I agree with you. Like, I would never watch the movie Crash again.
That's a perfect example.
Or, like, Million Dollar Baby. Like, those things aren't good to me.
They're of their time.
Yes. Exactly.
So should I take my Africa, Bambaataa, Planet Rock and just go home?
You are definitely living in the 80s, and I appreciate it.
I really am.
All right.
I love Planet Rock so much.
I do,
all right.
Top
let
five.
Let me pitch one more, and then we'll go to a couple more phone calls. Now, when your tweet came out, and then Allie and I and others started getting involved and starting discussing, Allie was disgusted at a song that I suggested in my top five. But I'm serious about this,
okay.
And that song is by Kanye West, and it's a little song that I like to call Jesus Walk.
My mama used to say only Jesus could save us. Well, mama, I know I act a fool, but I'll be gone to November. I got packs to move.
Does Kanye belong on any of the best hip-hop lists ever, do you think?
I could see you putting it on. I don't think Jesus Walks is mine. I guess I don't really know. We had a discussion kind of during a commercial break that some of these artists, like a Jay-Z,
right?
Or a Kanye, I don't know if you would say this song is the best. You might say The Blueprint's the best record ever made in hip-hop. That's an argument you might make for Jay-Z.
Right.
Or Graduation's the best hip-hop record ever made for Kanye. I don't know if Jesus Walks stands out to me the same way that, say, Wu-Tang, Cash Rules, Everything Around Me does, which is in my top five.
Jesus Walks was on Rolling Stone's top 500 songs of all time list. It did win the Grammy for best rap song that year. I mean, obviously it was a huge hit as well. I don't know. I hear that song and I go, that's unlike anything I've ever heard in hip hop.
I have heard him defend it before.
Yeah.
Also. Yeah. He loves that song.
So are we voting on that one in the top five?
Sounds like that's a no.
I think
that's
no.
A big no.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a couple more calls. 1-800-520-1067. Allie, you'll like Mark on line four, Laguna Niguel. He's also going old school.
All right. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks. Top five hip-hop songs.
Yep, at the risk of you calling me a giant Zeph Lequeni, I'm saying Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Listen, I love that commercial song. I do. I love that.
Come on. He's like the Catherine Wheel of rap. He does his own thing. He's his own man.
He does his own thing. He's okay.
All right. You can't ding it because it's commercial.
No,
either,
not at all.
You, Jensen?
No, not at all. I'm just saying it's in its list. I'm just saying I love Summertime. I just don't. I'm trying to say for the culture of hip hop, what are the best five songs? Summertime does not hit.
And you're saying no on that one.
Yeah, I would say what's your vote on Summertime?
But you know what song I do like? It's hard. Well, I'll say this. It's hard to say that Summertime is one of the best five songs when he also has a song about killing aliens from a movie. You know what I mean? Like, you have to sort. I'm not going to give you both. Go on.
You brought up Jay-Z. Let's go to Fullerton Line 1, please. This is Andrew. He's actually got a track he wants to pitch for top five.
Great.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Top five hip-hop all time.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Jigga Man, Jay-Z, with 99 Problems.
Cool. Great song.
99 problems, but a chain one. There's no party that comes on where it doesn't work, Jensen.
It's
true. That's a great song.
It's true, and it might be in my top 10, but it is not in
not
my
in
top
your
5.
Top.
No.
Bean?
Boy, you're tough.
Rick Rubin production, a lot of great things about that. It is just not for me.
Wow. Look, I would not. I'd be real happy with that in my top five.
That's okay. That's one vote. Where are we?
I'll tell you.
Well, I would say so, too.
All right.
What do
so
you think, Allie?
Allie breaks the tie.
I hate all of you. You're wrong about everything.
Okay, sorry, Andrew.
By the way, before you pick Africa Bambaataa for your top five, you might want to Google what's wrong with Africa Bambaataa right now.
I know that whole thing, but back then you didn't know.
Because Woody Allen made some good movies,
Allie. I know. But that song, come on.
Hey,
You're right. He's been very suspect.
Yeah. Where's Eminem in this conversation? Couldn't lose yourself.
Lose yourself could be in your top five.
I do have that.
That's
the
best, right? Yeah. I'll allow that if that's the vote.
You will.
I'll allow it. Yeah.
Bean, you vote this in top
yes.
five.
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Me too.
So that goes in.
Boom.
We have three.
We have three. That's good. I didn't even think we'd get three.
We got three.
Normally, when we make a top five list, we fail miserably.
Yeah, I could allow.
All right, so lose yourself.
Okay. I think it means something to the culture. I get it.
But when you say means something to the culture and you disregard the message, that's crazy to me.
You're going to have to let that go.
I cannot and will not.
In the era that I think, I think this certain era of music influenced it larger. That's my thing.
Okay, then how is Mobb Deep not on there?
I'm allowed. Look, Shook Ones Part 2 is on there. I'll vote for that.
Anyone? So some get shot, locked down, and turned nuts.
Cowardly hearts and straight up Shook Ones. I'll vote for it. And I'll say one of the things to think about is how young.
I'd say top 20.
There you go. That's possible, too. They were like 16 when they wrote
right.
that. I mean, it's a masterpiece at such a young age. I'd allow it.
It's amazing how long this conversation...
If we want to put it in, you know?
It's amazing how long this conversation is when you look at all the names we still haven't even gotten to and we're out of time. And we haven't talked about LL Cool J. We haven't talked about Public Enemy. We haven't talked about a lot of people. But that's why it's an impossible task.
I would allow Fight the Power in. You know, I would... I have a lot of...
What about In the Club? I'm serious.
I know. In the Club is a commercial smash.
Yes.
That could be looked at in not
I
top five
it.
For me. But,
okay, not
but
top
I could see how it's there.
I put Rock the Bells, LL Cool J.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to say...
But we only got three.
I think threes is good
three's
as we could
start,
be...
Three's a good
start. Three's as good as we could be expected
we've got
to
four.
We're not adding the message. Wait, I can't get you guys to say that a Wu-Tang song is in the top five of all time?
I don't think I would put it in top five.
Okay.
Not unless I'm hearing somebody say Ice Baby. Just kidding.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41.
Monday morning, we got time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children debuted at number one over the weekend. $28.5 million made it number one. Then another debuting film, Deepwater Horizon, came in at number two with $20.6 million. Then Magnificent Seven, Storks and Sully were your top five films at the box office. Masterminds debuted with just $6.6 million. However, that was good enough to make it number six out of the top ten. Queen of Katwe was seventh at the box office. Don't Breathe, Bridget Jones's Baby, and Snowden were the rest of your top 10 films. Pitch. You guys watching Pitch?
Yes.
Love
it.
Me some Pitch.
It's really great.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know you were not alone in saying that it was based on a true story.
Did Remember? Kevin say that?
So oh, it was yeah, based sure. on a true story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when we had Mark Paul Gosselaar in last week, Kevin started off the show. He said, we've been talking the story of Pitch. Mark Paul Gosselaar. And it is, of course, based on true story, Pitch. And I came in, like, 5 minutes later, and I said, it's not based on a true story.
Oh, it isn't?
Ginny's not a real person. There's never been a woman that pitched in the majors. It's just, none of it is true.
I believed it when Kevin said it. Though.
Right?
You agreed with him at the beginning of the show.
I did. It sounded
great. I was screaming
great.
In the room, why? Where's fact check? Fact check? I was like a guy at a Trump rally, just screaming.
He
just
sold
trying to get
it.
Someone to...
Should you source anything that comes out of Kevin's mouth?
How dare
Possibly.
You?
I'm
yes.
just saying.
So, Kevin, I just want you to know, you'll be happy to know you're not alone.
Okay.
I want you to please listen to this woman in Canada who's calling into a sports radio talk show, and she is incensed that they are missing the biggest story in professional baseball going today.
On the sports this morning, you didn't mention how the female pitcher did in Major League Baseball. She pitched last night, I thought.
No, that's a TV series.
Oh, for God's sake. Are you kidding me?
They've done a great job promoting it. It is a show called Pitch, and yes, it's just a TV series.
Oh,
now, I firmly believe that we will eventually see a woman in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Just not right now. That's just
oh,
an actress.
Oh, my God. Better not mention this or play this at all.
You know I'm going to have to, don't you?
No, Lucas!
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't think it was live. I thought it was...
Kavina Ryder was her name.
How dare you?
Call her, and we're very happy to give her the opportunity to express herself.
It's a good show.
It's based on a true story, too. Girls, really, truths happened. Speaking of sports and show business...
Ah! Could not have been happier yesterday. I don't know if you saw this video or not, but Ben Affleck is just knee-deep in press now for this accountant, the
right.
accountant film that he's doing. So he's doing yesterday, he had to do his junket. His press junket. He sits in a chair in a hotel suite and people come in and out and they ask him the same three questions over and over again. And he's miserable because he's not watching Buffalo versus New England. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be watching football.
He's such a big star, I can't believe he would allow them to schedule interviews during a Patriots game.
Well, you can't always control that stuff. And he was there and the press was coming in and out. And there was a woman who came in who happened to be from Sports Illustrated who was doing a story on the movie and on Ben, and she walks in, the first question out of his mouth is this.
You have the scores of the football games on that thing by any chance?
I do, and I don't know if you want me to tell you what it is.
Uh-oh.
Do you?
Well, yes, I do want you to tell me.
Buffalo's winning 16-0.
Buffalo's winning 16-0?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm sorry.
In the third quarter?
Fourth.
In the fourth?
Yeah.
The panic. Okay.
Rex Ryan.
Yeah, dropped a big F-bomb at the end. Great as that!
I love him.
So awesome. They lost.
Oh.
Missing the point.
Sorry. Look.
He got a little Kevin to him. Can we play
a
that again?
A little bit. I looked
little,
at yeah.
little,
How
little
dare you?
Kevin Affleck going on there.
You have the scores of the football games on that?
Scores of the football games on that?
You have the scores of the football games on that?
You have the scores of the football games on that? Do you have the scores and the football games in any chance?
Full on, Kevin.
That's so interesting, Ralph, because remember when he sat down on the Any Given Wednesday? Is that what the show with Bill
yeah,
Simmons?
Bill Simmons.
And a lot of people were suggesting that maybe he had had a few before he went on that broadcast.
Do you have the scores in the football game in any chance? I do want to know.
Do you have the scores of the football games on that thing by any chance?
I do, and I don't know if you want me to tell you what it is.
Uh-oh.
Do you?
Well, yes, I do want you to tell me.
Buffalo's winning...
I didn't want you to tell me. Glug, 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 glug. Check his water bottle.
The pitcher woman was real.
Just check his water bottle, that's all I'm saying.
Was that your Kevin?
That was my Kevin, yes.
What?
That was my
what? Wait. That was you? That was you doing me drunk? Yeah,
that's right, yes. Okay, let's move on.
He's just trying to play along.
I just think you're terrific.
Thank you.
Get me.
I'm not going to
do it again. One more time.
Do
your impression of me one more time.
A little drunk lady playing baseball.
You keep doing what you're doing.
Your job is safe here, Ralph.
Think you're okay, Ralph?
Oh. We're all not okay.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Right? I had to hear that. None of us are okay now. Today's celebrity birthdays, Greg Proops.
Everybody, smartest man in the world.
Everybody Proops, right?
Yeah.
He's 57 years old today. Tommy Lee's 54. I can't believe we haven't heard from Tommy Lee today, by the way.
That's a good point. Ralph?
The Rippin' and the Terran.
No, that's not Tommy Lee.
It's not. It should be.
Life makes you lemons. Up? Just get laughing fights fast lane.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
Right? Tommy Lee.
When, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
Right. There you go. Clive Owen is 52 years old today.
If you mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
Exactly. Yeah. Gwen Stefani's 47 years old.
When life throws you a curveball,
right.
Lemonade.
Exactly. Kevin Richardson is 45. Lena Headey is 43 years old. Nev Campbell, also 43. Sean William Scott turns 40. And Alicia Vikander celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness this afternoon at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. An hour of commercial-free music. Check that out. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have comedian Greg Fitzsimmons in studio and also Keith Stanfield, who plays Darius on Atlanta.
Only want to be with you!
Nope. Different Darius. Different guy. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.